today on Straight Talk Africa, it's all about the new kid on the block, Republican flag bearer Donald Trump. Does the president-elect represent and reflect what some observers have characterized as a trajectory change in American politics? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the U.S. presidential historic vote and Donald Trump's unexpected win.
Well, what a ride it's been. We have so much to say and cover in this hour. Coming up later in our SCA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
In one of the greatest political upsets in U.S. political history, Republican Donald Trump defeated Democratic Hillary Clinton early Wednesday and will become the 45th president of the United States. From Washington, VOA national political correspondent Jim Malone has more.
It was a scene few could imagine just a few hours earlier. Donald Trump, trailing in the polls for much of the campaign, emerging victorious in a presidential result that stunned the nation and the world.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
Trump quickly moved to strike a note of conciliation after a long and bitter campaign that has divided the country.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
Trump also had a message for leaders in countries abroad, many of whom no doubt had expected a Clinton victory just a few hours earlier.
I want to tell the world community that while we will always put America's interests first, we will deal fairly with everyone, All people and all other nations. We will seek common ground, not hostility, partnership, not conflict.
It fell to campaign chairman John Podesta to address disappointed supporters who were expecting to celebrate at a New York convention hall.
I know you've been here a long time, and it's been a long night, and it's been a long campaign. But I could say we can wait a little longer, can't we?
Republicans also retain control of both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Trump won key battleground states, including Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and even Wisconsin, which last voted Republican in 1984. Trump won with a surge of support from white working-class voters, says expert David Schultz on Skype.
And what Trump has been very good at doing is bringing out non-traditional voters, which are hard to figure out in terms of polling, if they're going to show up. Second, there's been what I call sort of the enthusiasm gap. The people who like Trump really like Trump and are turning out to vote. The people who support Clinton aren't quite as enthusiastic.
Trump now prepares for a presidential transition and an inauguration in January that even some of his supporters doubted would ever happen.
Thanks, Jim, for that interesting report. And, of course, joining us here in our Washington studios, we expect to be joined by Anita Mpambara Cox, founder and chair of the Mpambara Cox Foundation, later in the program, because apparently she's stuck somewhere in traffic. My colleague, Jim Malone, VOA national political correspondent, of course, is right here. And it's always a pleasure, of course, to have the opportunity, frankly.
Thank you, sir.
To host you.
Good to see you.
You're most welcome. And of course, we are joined by Joseph Slavik, a man from the Republican Party itself and a former staffer with President J.H.W. Bush. It's a pleasure, of course, having you on the line, Joe Slavik.
Thank you, Ndugu Shaka. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm in the great city, New York City.
The Big Apple, you must be celebrating, of course, isn't it?
It was a very long morning.
Interesting. Well, later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Jim, let's be honest. Did you expect this?
I don't think so, and I don't think a lot of people expected it. And you certainly have to give some credit to the Trump campaign, to Trump supporters who came out in droves in numbers that most people didn't give them credit for even being able to produce. And what we saw, Shaka, was not just an election, but sort of a political earthquake at this point. This was driven by a number of Americans who have felt left out about what's going on in the country the past several years, and for some, beyond that. We've had a lot of changes in the country over the past 20, 30 years, trade agreements, the loss of jobs, some Americans feeling left behind. I think there's resentment with some of the elites. And what we saw was especially white working class voters in a number of key states, including several that traditionally have voted Democratic, rising up and wanting change. And to them, Donald Trump, despite the controversies around Trump and his, you know, character flaws in the views of some, despite all that, they decided that he embodied the kind of change they wanted, and they turned out in droves.
Jim, did this particular election remind you of another election across the Atlantic in Britain?
Yes, a lot of people are talking about Brexit. Yeah, and certainly there was a case there where the polls seemed to not quite detect what was going on. There'll be a whole discussion, by the way, about the political pundits and how the pollsters got this all wrong. There were a couple of polls that were tracking all along that were more accurate. We should note that. But it also reminds me a bit, perhaps in this country, of the 1980 election, where we had Jimmy Carter struggling for re-election, and we had another sort of, even though he had political experience, Ronald Reagan was seen by some as sort of a political outsider who could shake things up. And he came in, and that was also kind of a big change election. That's the kind of thing we're seeing in America. It seems we can go about 8 years, and then we need a change. And we've seen that with 2 terms for Bill Clinton, 2 terms for George W. Bush, and now 2 terms for Barack Obama.
You talk about polls getting it wrong, but what about the media, Jim? The media got it wrong, with perhaps the exception, frankly, of Fox Television. And what about the markets?
I think even the Fox poll near the end had Hillary Clinton up by about 4 points, so... I mean, there's going to be a lot of discussion. The media, you know, is so different than it was 20 or 30 years ago. Even in the world of the internet, and you think more information is available, people tend to stay in their own camps. They tend to seek out information and, you know, lines of communication and information that kind of reinforces their beliefs. And that's on both sides of the political spectrum. And to some extent, we've seen that play out in the campaign. We've also seen the impact of social media play out. And we had one of the candidates, Donald Trump, a very active participant in that.
Twitter.
And it turned out, I think, enabled him to kind of craft and hone his message. Because in the end, the message was what survived, despite all the baggage he had, whether it was problems with allegations from various women, the salacious videotape, the other controversial things he said about Muslims, immigration, and so forth. Voters, according to the exit polls, many of them made up their minds some time ago, Shaka, which really means all that last-minute back and forth didn't shake them too much.
Very interesting. You talk about, of course, the election of 1980. So you're talking about Ronald Reagan, the great communicator. And here you have a Trump who almost also becomes, in fact, a great communicator of sorts.
And he's a communicator of the modern age, a star on reality television,
right.
Someone who's taken to social media. You know, I have to say, I've watched him for more than a year now, whether it's the debates or rallies.
He does have extraordinary energy, and he's 70 years old. He's, by the way, the oldest man ever elected U.S. president, even a little older than Ronald Reagan.
Very interesting.
So
he doesn't look like
he
really
was able to, and he also seemed to feed off the audiences, feed off the supporters. And some of the political experts were kind of dismissive, though he's relying on the size of his crowds and a feel from the crowds that he can get the pulse. Well, it turns out they're having the last laugh at this point because obviously something was in the air and a lot of people missed it.
Joe, I think for you, first and foremost, congratulations are in order.
Oh, thank you very much.
Were you surprised? You don't seem to have been surprised because you've been telling me all along, in fact, that you guys are going to win.
I was not surprised, but I was surprised by the margin of victory. I thought it would have been a much tighter race, and I have to say that I was completely shocked by the margin of victory in terms of the Electoral College.
Why do you think the media, and in fact, you might even add Wall Street, both got it wrong?
I think probably if you look at the history, at least recent history in terms of presidential races, there has not been a candidate so unique, should we say. Trump obviously did not fit the mold. He was one could consider a political amateur initially, and he found a way to stumble to the finish line. And I think many people were caught off guard by his determination and his hard work.
To what extent does this tell us about the apparent disconnect between the traditional political establishment right here in Washington and indeed in several other capitals across the country and the ordinary American voter?
Wow, that's a good question. I think probably every major news organization is going to have to probably revisit the way they extrapolate and review the news. Many times in the press, there's a lot of preaching but not practicing. And it's easy to sit and criticize than to get into the trenches. So I think it's probably been the press itself or the media itself probably needs to look inward to see how they can be more in touch with the everyday voter.
He kept talking about draining the swamp. Was that a code word for corruption in Washington or in government?
I think it is more of a discussion of addressing the political elite and the feeling that Washington plays by one rule, set of rules, and the people outside the Beltway live under another set of rules. So I think people were voicing their frustration. They were the talk did not match the walk.
You know, when reporters, of course, were talking to people in the context of exit polls, what came out was, one, you're talking about the economy, of course, being stupid, and also, let's face it, security. But how come during the campaign, really, it didn't seem to be a campaign based on issues? You're talking about personalities, really. You're talking about character assassinating each other.
Well, it's all about likability. As I tell friends and clients, you can't do business with somebody you don't like, no matter how much you dislike them. So I think the likability factor at the end of the day is the prevailing factor. And I think if you like somebody, you find a way to compromise, you find a way to accept. And when you don't like somebody, even if they are the superior choice, many times people will settle for less. I think they prefer comfortability and likability versus sometimes competency.
You know, Joe, there is a saying that success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. So what happens to the establishment and the elite politicians who decided to stay away from now, of course, President-elect Donald Trump?
Well, I think Donald Trump's going to take the next few days. I spoke to some of his staff, and I think they're going to try to find a way to step back and let some of the campaign rhetoric settle, and they're going to revisit how I think they can unify the country, and I think even within the Republican Party, rather than cannibalize the party, I think they're going to try to find a way to consolidate. I think obviously they're going to do things the way Mr. Trump and Vice President-elect Pence would like, But I think, at least within the Republican Party, I think there'll be some consolidation. And with regard to the Democratic Party, there could be some political genocide going on as to what happens, whether it's the Obama clique, the Clinton clique, the Bernie Sanders clique. So both parties and both have a lot of inward soul searching to do. But I think, at least for the Republicans, it's much easier to deal with victory. And obviously, when there's defeat, the medicine can be a bit strong at times. So it should be very interesting.
Thank you. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA US President. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. And we don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines other things: the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must.
And one thing you realize quickly in this job is that the presidency and the vice presidency is bigger than any of us. So I have instructed my team to follow the example that President Bush's team set 8 years ago and work as hard as we can to make sure that this is a successful transition for the president-elect. Because we are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country. The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. And over the next few months, we are going to show that to the world.
That was, of course, U.S. President Barack Obama. And, of course, earlier, it was former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Of course, terrific speech. Did you have a chance to listen to both?
I did. You know, we're in the day after mode now. And the country is going to struggle for a while, I think, to come together. It'll take some time. Certainly the remarks by Donald Trump in his victory speech earlier today tried to strike a note of conciliation. We heard the same thing from Secretary Clinton and from President Obama. One of the things I'd like to go back to for a minute, though, is we did have two candidates in this election, and they both were flawed. And I think when the Democrats do some self-reflecting, it may appear that to the average voter, the flaws of Hillary Clinton, the questions about trustworthiness related not only to the emails, but to whether she came across as an authentic person and politician.
Character?
Well, yes, goes to the issue of character. I remember 8 years ago when she ran against Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And often this would be more with Republican voters who were not voting then, but if you said her name or asked them what they thought, there was often a visceral reaction. There was an issue of trust there. And I think the Democrats maybe overlooked some of this, and they thought they were in a good shape because they were able to go against Trump, who, from all appearances, had a lot of baggage on his own. But as we saw, the Trump supporters were committed no matter his baggage, and that was a big difference.
Now, Jim, in hindsight, do you agree with some who have suggested that if it was Bernie Sanders, he would probably have been able, in fact, to close the deal?
I'm not sure. Sanders did strike a chord with a lot of progressive Democrats. There's a little bit of overlap. with he and Trump talking about the elites versus the common person, the people left behind. So that's a common thread, whether you're on the left or the right, and that fueled Trump to a degree. And Trump is not your cookie-cutter Republican type, and we're going to see that play out because his relationship with members of his own party has been suspect from the beginning. He's got a lot of challenges, political challenges ahead, healing the rift not only nationally, but seeing how he can work with some of the Republicans who turn their backs on him. But listen, the earthquake we talked about that occurred on Tuesday, there's some real deep tremors in the country. And if anything, it's going to force us all now to confront a lot of people who are feeling left out, left behind, who want a change in direction. And I think the most simplistic way to look at this was the overarching desire for change carried the day.
Talking about Trump perhaps not being viewed as a quote-unquote legitimate Republican, wasn't he in fact at one time like Reagan before in the Democratic Party?
Yes. In fact, he was very supportive of both Hillary and Bill Clinton when they were in the White House in the 90s. So he also has a record of taking more liberal stances or, you know, moderate stances on issues like abortion and other issues. And now he is tried to cast himself as a conservative to the Republicans who supported him. So, yes, there are going to be some issues there. It's going to come down to what kind of leadership skills does he have. And listen, we knew when this election, before it happened, about half the country was going to be unhappy the day after.
Very interesting.
But the polls suggested it was going to be the people who supported Trump. Very few people thought it was going to be the folks who were with Hillary Clinton.
Very interesting. Anita Pambara Cox, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Shaka. I must first apologize for my tardy appearance. I had logistical issues getting here. I had a previous engagement that was slightly delayed. So, But here I am. Good to see you. Hello, Jim.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. How
good to see you again after a very, very long time.
Yes.
Let me come to the point immediately. I gather that you had a sleep last night, actually.
Absolutely. 2 hours. That's all I had.
What were you expecting?
You know, Shaka, from the very beginning of this race, when Donald Trump was counted out, I actually formed my conclusion the day he won the Republic nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he'd knocked out 16 opponents, all seasoned political types, governors, senators, congressmen, that said a lot. And in the Clinton camp, in choosing who they wanted, were afraid of, I guess, Rubio and Bush. But they overlooked the fact that Trump was that unconventional candidate that could take the fight to Hillary in a way basically no other Republican could. And I had a conversation with a gentleman at the pool we go to. My children are competitive swimmers, so we spend a lot of time by the poolside, get to know other parents. And I remember that gentleman, the most unlikely of people that you look at and think he'd never vote Trump.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw that I was talking about Trump in terms of he might win, he said to me, "Do you know, my father has not voted in 5 election cycles, but he is so incredibly excited about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my whole household is." And to me, that said he's touched something. And that's the voice that Paul Ryan mentioned today when he said Donald Trump. Did you hear that?
Where
he said Donald Trump heard a voice that none of us heard. And he played to that voice, and that voice carried him through.
He included none of us being, even us, some of us
even
Republicans.
Even some of us seasoned, yeah, exactly. Even us seasoned politicians.
So this outside force tapping into what was a burning desire that wasn't always picked up in the polls.
Yes.
They sort of collided on Tuesday.
Teflon Trump? I say that because Hillary kept saying this is a very divisive man.
Right.
And yet, he did not stick.
Teflon Don, call him what you want. He's the kind of guy that he went into the ring that last round. He delivered 3 powerful punches. One after the other, knocked out the Clinton dynasty, the Bush dynasty, and the Obama legacy all in one night.
Interesting. What about his relationship or association with some of those who, in fact, were supporting Brexit.
Yes.
In the UK. I know that you spent there many, many years.
Correct.
It seems to have worked for him.
It did.
Some
it
of
did.
Them, in fact, came here to campaign for him.
Absolutely. Nick Farage came here.
Yes.
But as you know, I have sisters that live in London. And before Brexit, I was actually working as a media analyst for the European Commission in the office of Neelie Kroes, who was the digital commissioner. I mean, the commissioner for digital economy.
Mm-hmm.
And just from that little sort of insight I had, I could see that Brexit was going to win the day, but everybody believed the polls. But there's that, you know how they say there's a margin of error? Here, there was sort of like a margin of silence.
Mm-hmm.
The people who never wanted to admit that they were, you know, Brexiters, mm-hmm. the people that never wanted to put a Trump bumper sticker
right.
on their car, and they came out. He talked about the silent majority.
Very interesting.
And
The last time I heard about that, someone using that phrase, the silent majority, in fact, was Richard Nixon.
Yes, and this is why the polls became suspect in the end, because they were not picking up these fervent supporters that Trump was able to drive out. Mm-hmm. The Clinton campaign was vaunted all along for this tremendous voter turnout operation they supposedly had,
right.
but the other thing wasn't being picked up.
Joe, are you there?
I am, Shaka.
You know, of course, that Trump has said that his was not a campaign. It was a movement. Do you believe him?
Absolutely. I do without a doubt.
What does that mean?
Go ahead.
What does that mean?
Well, I think if you look at some of the videos of Trump, I think a lot of his ideas have existed for quite some time in terms of how trade and how the U.S. Does not get the best deals. But I think... he has hit the grassroots. When I went to vote yesterday in my home state of Pennsylvania, I have never seen lines so long. And my daughter, who's 18, Alexandra, she voted for the first time. And he said, wow, I didn't realize it took so long to vote. And my opinion was that, you know, the turnout was because there was such enthusiasm that this is probably the first time that I have seen a really, truly grassroots movement without really a huge bit of political machinery. Many times lots of campaigns have infrastructure in place, and Trump seemed to have a very limited infrastructure, but it was all at the grassroots level through social media and email. And I have to tell you, I have not seen any kind of election in the last 30 years I've been voting. This is the first time that I've seen this. It's almost like a political tsunami that no one saw coming.
He seems to be a very creative man, especially when you look at funding. You look at the finances and look at Hillary Clinton. Some suggest that she probably may have spent close to a billion dollars. And Trump, the last time I checked, is about $100 million. How did he do that?
Well, they claim that the cost for him, it was about $5 per vote. And you have to understand, he's a businessman. He did not hire many pollsters. I think he had obviously, as you saw, his political team evolved from the nomination process to the convention to the general election. I think he went ahead and put the right people around him, and it was grassroots, and he obviously contributed a significant amount of money himself. But if you look at what he spent versus what the Clinton spent, it's almost like a mouse defeating an elephant. And I have to say, I think the lesson we learned today will be a lesson that many future politicians will be studying for their own benefit.
Very interesting. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariam Diaro. Take it away, Mariam.
Well, thanks, Shaka. What a year it's been for all of us residing in the United States and some others who have been watching the campaign very closely from afar. Well, it's all done now. Or maybe I should say it's definitely the beginning of a new chapter in America. Well, you had a lot to say about it, and still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. We'll be right back.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githiyewot, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The long, acrimonious, and polarizing battle for the White House is finally over. And today, we are taking an in-depth look at the historic 2016 U.S. presidential election and how the results could change the political landscape in America and what effect it might have on U.S.-Africa relations. Well, before the elections, we ask this question to you, wanting to know, who would you like to see become the next U.S. president and why? Well, starting off that conversation is a viewer from Zambia with our letter of the week.
Marston Muziyamba from Zambia writes, "Let God choose a president for America, someone who will move America forward. Let's not see what happened in Zambia happen in the United States. Our Zambian elections were not free and fair."
Well, that was Marston Muziyamba, from Zambia. And before we move on to more comments, I'd like to thank you all for using all our social media platform to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA US President. And if you haven't yet, do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Isaac Ulrich, who writes that, "I can't wait to see her," meaning Secretary Clinton, "make history." Well, I think that's a little bit too late, unfortunately, because she just gave, just a few hours ago, a very, very emotional concession speech. Let's take a look at another tweet, this time from Twina Masiko, who writes, "How true is it that the dead are voting in some states?" Well, I think this was a question that was asked before the elections. And also, I'm not sure how this statement, if this statement is verifiable. But while we're at it, let's look at another one, another tweet, this time from Musima Raymond in Uganda, who writes, "The U.S. has to wait another 4 years to try to elect a first female president." Well, now to a comment from one of our Facebook followers, Bol Nibol Awen from Juba in South Sudan, who writes, "I don't need anybody from President Barack Obama's Democratic Party. His administration has contaminated almost the entire continent of Africa, as well as parts of the Arab world. I prefer Donald Trump as the next U.S. president." Well, your wish has certainly come true. President-elect Trump has defeated Hillary Clinton to become the next president of the United States. Shaka and guests, your thoughts on these comments.
Jim, your reaction, and especially that issue of dead people voting.
Yeah, I wouldn't make too much of that. There have been studies that show that there are still people on the voter rolls who have expired, but I don't think I would take that to mean there's widespread voter fraud with people going out and voting under those dead names. We've had allegations going way back in our history with some shenanigans at the ballot. But, you know, one thing about this election, Trump won a clear victory. Some of the states were close, but he won a number of key states that Clinton was expected to win. So no one's raising questions here about the validity of the vote. It's a question of how people, especially on the Democratic side, are going to come to grips with the result.
Any chance that perhaps an undocumented alien could, in fact, use a voting card of a dead person, especially in states where you do not require or need identification?
Well, as you know, anything is possible. But, you know, is this a problem?
that needs a lot of looking into? I don't think so.
I see. Right, Mariama, any more reaction from the social media world, please?
Yes, we'll go to another comment from Vincent Atuma in Asaba, Nigeria, who writes, Donald Trump is a brutal capitalist. He has insulted Africans and African Americans. He is arrogant, disrespectful, and lacking in temperament and character. I prefer Hillary Clinton. She is a seasoned public administrator. She is charismatic and has the right qualities and mindset for the White House. I endorse her 100%. But while we're at it, let's take a look at another comment. And this time it comes from Kingsley eBay, who posted this one on our wall. He says that he supports Hillary Clinton for president of the United States. She represents everything America believes in and the American spirit. Donald Trump has nothing to deliver. He doesn't have any specific plans or policies. And the world is in trouble if he wins. He doesn't have the temperament to be a world leader. These were emails, again, that we asked right before it was a question that we asked right before the election, so these were their reactions. But since I read two pro-Clinton comments, I think I'm going to read one more, this time from Alfred Shaho. He writes that he's all in for Donald Trump because he is fighting the establishment, be it political, environmental, media, or economical. He's telling Americans every truth they had never heard before. Well, a lot of comments and a lot of thoughts. Shaka, and guess once again, your thoughts.
Well, the American people, of course, have spoken. Anita?
They have indeed. Talking about that question about Trump's temperament and how they thought he's not fit to govern because he didn't give all the policy details that somebody like Hillary Clinton has lived and breathed for the last 30 years. That's how his opponent framed him, as somebody without the temperament to lead. And in my mind, the analogy I always had, Jim, was that of two drivers. One is in a car with tinted windows, driving along the street, ignores every street sign they see. They go through the stop sign, they don't stop at the red light, they just keep going, and somehow the people in the car cheer them on, right? The other is in a flashy, nice, convertible car that everybody looks at and admires, and they suffer road rage from time to time. Mm-hmm. Both are dangerous drivers. You don't want any of those two on the road. The one that ignored all the signals and signs, I would say, is Secretary Clinton, because of the fact that she has that team of enablers around her, people that have allowed her time and again. I worked for Secretary Clinton in sort of a distant capacity in 99, and I saw up close and personal basically how her staff interacted between themselves when dealing with her. And you could see very clearly that they did not have that capacity to go to her with negative news, which is why in the very first round of her trying to be the nominee, when her campaign imploded, I knew some of the characters in that. And it was very clear that they never told her she was running out of money. And this time you saw her going after the money. She fundrose. Trump, on the other hand, the road rage he has to do, you know, with the fact that if you go after him, he's going to attack you. It doesn't matter how loud or how embarrassing it is. He's going to come out swinging and then keep moving on, which is what he did. And he kept going and going. And none of this stuck to him or pulled him down in the same way as it would any other politician would not have survived those kinds of things.
Very interesting. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Is going to do it. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Well, now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll examine Beyond the Storm, treating the powerless and the powerful in Mobutu's Congo Zaire, a book written by Dr. William Close and Dr. Matudila Malonga, a Congolese physician who co-discovered Ebola in 1976. We'll also discuss the latest developments in the Democratic Republic of Congo on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. And of course, the discussion is about the U.S. presidential historical vote and Donald Trump's shocking win. Our distinguished guest, Anita Pambara-Cox, founder and chair of the Pambara-Cox Foundation. My colleague, Jim Malone, VOA national political correspondent, and Joseph Slavik, with the Republican Party, of course, and a former staffer with President George H.W. Bush. Well, I have to say, lady and two gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you, Joe. Are you there?
I am, Shaka.
If you were to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Philadelphia heart and soul, is this a victory for the Republican Party, or is it, in fact, a victory for the American people?
Oh, I would have to say definitely the American people. I think it's always people above politics first. And whether it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump the victor today, I think we have to wish whoever's duly elected the best for the country. We have to sort of unite around them. So I think at the end of the day, the country benefits from it. Those who win and those who lose, hopefully there's a compromise in the middle. And those who win or who have won, at least will consider some of the thoughts from the folks who were not the victors. And those who lost, hopefully will open their minds and their eyes as well to some of the other thoughts. So it's always a work in progress. We've been a democracy for 230-some years. And if you look at, you know, Barack Obama, he was just a lonely senator, the first African-American elected. And once he was elected, the country rallied around him. And I'm sure that the same will happen with President Trump.
Jim, why is it that some people say that Hillary Clinton gives the impression that she has a sense of entitlement to the White House? Any evidence here?
Well, I mean, this has always been an issue with Clinton's persona. She seems to have a struggle connecting with voters on a level where they find her sincere, authentic.
Fake?
Well, I mean, it's just, it's something that has plagued her going way back when she first came on the national scene. And if you draw the contrast with Trump, we were talking before about temperament. There are exit polls that show a number of voters had concerns about his temperament.
True.
And voted for him anyway.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned covering the primaries earlier this year in Iowa, New Hampshire, elsewhere, you would think that Trump's rhetoric was reckless to some, was outrageous, controversial. Mm-hmm. For his supporters, they embraced it. It was refreshing to them. It was almost not so much what he said sometimes, but how he said it, because he was able to create a situation where they could vent through him their frustrations, the feeling of being left behind, the feeling that the country is not in a good place, not headed in the right direction, and that better days are not ahead. All of that they could then invest in the figure of Donald Trump.
Let me just add to that, Shaka, and say, what about, though, Jim, the fact that Trump was basically a branding genius? In the way he created his vision, in the way he articulated his vision, we now know that Hillary had no vision, that her staff were asking, what is her vision? Before we write a speech, what does she aspire to do for the American people? And it really behooves me to think that since 2006, she's been running for president.
Some have suggested, in fact, that she had no specific message.
She didn't. When you really look at it, look how many times she changed her slogan from I'm with her to I'm fighting for you, to stronger together.
But she's the champion of women. Let's talk about the glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been, of course, in the front line, frankly, of trying to you know, to crush, is it crush or...
Break.
You break the glass ceiling for women. And she obviously regards herself as the champion of women of America. I remember about 2 years ago, I had a conversation with Ugandan Prime Minister, Dr. Ruhakana Rugunda. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, he said, Shaka, let's talk about the upcoming elections in the United States. Who do you think is likely to be president? He said someone had told him that it was likely to be Mrs. Clinton. And I said, I really doubt because I'm not so sure that America perhaps is ready for a female president, and especially Hillary Clinton, because there are a lot of people who complain that she doesn't really come through as being, quote unquote, authentic.
I think you have to.
Is it possible that it is only Hillary, and in fact some people look at her as somebody who simply is in to be a president, but that in fact some other female could actually make it?
Yes, I think you have to do a little separation here, because even though she did encourage and bring together a lot of women, especially more mature women who saw all the struggles of women to gain rights 20, 30, 40 years ago, she was, you know, a role model for them, and they rallied around her. But she has such her own political persona that... What I was struck by throughout much of the campaign was the whole idea that we're trying to elect the first woman was lost in a lot of times. That whole message went away because it became about Hillary Clinton, the politician everyone knows, both her good characteristics, her inspiring characteristics, and her political baggage. And she could never get stuck out of that. So can a woman be elected? Yes, I firmly believe so. It's just this particular woman, Hillary Clinton, with her political issues, it seemed to be a struggle too far, especially in a year that the voters seemed to want change.
Yes.
We now know that more than ever. And by the way, look at the history here. Two-term presidents. Mm-hmm. It's rare for a party to win a third term.
Yeah. History
Correct.
Was against her, in a way.
It was against her.
It was against her. Two terms of a Democratic president who, through his presidency, he lost 1,100 seats, Democratic seats, across the nation. So you're looking at what she's trying to inherit by saying, I want to protect his legacy. First of all, I think that was kind of moot, too, you know.
Talking Nobody about legacy, to... in fact. Mm-hmm. So what is likely to be, in fact, Obama's legacy? Because... We have, you know, Trump and his colleagues have problems with Obamacare, for example.
That's gone.
They probably have problems also with the deal he cut with Iran.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, Joe mentioned earlier that we haven't seen a grassroots. Actually, we have. 8 years ago, it was called
exactly
Barack Obama.
With Barack Obama.
But it was a different constituency.
Correct.
And it was the rising electorate, minority voters, recent immigrants, young women, that group was fired up.
Yes.
And became a well-tuned coalition. It came up from the grassroots. But here's the story of American
the
politics.
The ground game. What happens to the ground game?
What happens is people get tired. And after 8 years, you lose that verve and that energy. And then you nominate a candidate like Clinton, who is seen as one of the status quo, and we get the result we got on Tuesday, where people wanted to go in a different direction.
Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Let's go to good evening, Tafa in Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Tafa, are you there?
Hello, Shaka. Good evening.
Hello, Tafa.
Yeah, Shaka. Good evening.
I am terrific. How are you?
I'm good, Shaka. I'm good.
We're getting an echo on the line. Could you please maybe lower the volume or switch off your television set, please?
Okay, Shaka, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay now?
Yes, please. Your question, please.
Yes, my quick question, Shaka.
One question, please.
Okay. And now, Shaka, you have this perception out there that Americans are anti-Muslim. And now you have a president who came out and made a categorical statement that if he gets elected as a president of the United States, he will not allow Muslims to enter the United States. My question now is that, what do they think that United States citizens should do able to reduce this perception, or what some people are even now calling it a reality, not any perception anymore? Because the man who came out to to make his statement about Muslims as now as a president of the United States elect. So what do you think the citizens of the United States should do? My humble appeal also shall go to Muslims all over the world. Please, let's not use this thing as an excuse to harm Americans, because Americans love Muslims.
Thank you.
Americans that are not anti-Muslim. Some are anti, but the majority of Americans, I believe, love Muslims.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to the other side of the continent, Uganda. Good evening, Samuel. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. How are you?
I am hugely terrific. How are you?
I'm surprisingly happy to note that the Americans have spoken and they have chosen the president-elect Donald Trump. Now, let me go to my sister, Anita. Anita, you have seen what Americans have done. Do you think the Trump administration will respect the immigration, the health care, and will respect every person that has been in the United States to stay put? Do you think there will be a shift of change from the Obama administration by the Trump administration? Thank you very much, Shaka, and I love America.
Thank you very much for your love, of course, for America. Let's go to Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest in the studio, Patrick Okafor, and I will speak my name here in Nigeria. I wish to congratulate the president-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump. And my question now to our guest, Sister Anita. Ma, you see, my question is that what is the assurance that the change that the president, in short, the president-elect have been longing for will be a reality? Because in most of our policy and the politicians, they will tell us this is what they will give us. At the end of the day, we'll be seeing an opposite direction. You see, this the policy of the Donald Trump is opposite to President Obama and Clinton's policy. So what is the assurance that the change will be a reality? Thank you very much. Patrick Okrafo in Arjikule in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. Of course, there is a saying that politicians campaign in poetry, but when it comes to the business of governing, that's when they do it in prose. Let me go to Uganda again. Martin, good evening, Martin. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. You have a minute, please.
Thank you, Ndugu. Mm-hmm. I really congratulate President-elect Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But mine is not a question, but a comment, especially to our brothers in Africa.
You have a minute, please.
Looking at the rhetoric of Donald Trump and threatening dictatorial regimes, but here in Africa, I need to caution my brothers in Africa that Donald Trump is an American president, just like Barack Obama has been. It is upon Africans to work and strive for their own democracy and not look at Western regimes. They have to take the mantle or take the bull by the horns so that we get rid of dictatorial regimes by exercising the very rights the Americans have done to elect an outsider. Thank you, Ndugu. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Anita?
To go to Samuel's question that was addressed to me, I think he asked about immigration.
Correct.
And is wondering, you know, what the differences will be. I just want to say to all the Africans watching tonight that when Donald Trump talks about immigration and sorting out immigration, he's actually talking about the illegal immigrants. If you're an African and you arrive on the shores of the United States, they know who you are because you came through a plane, an airport, a visa, a document.
Mm-hmm.
So when they talk about illegal immigration, they're talking about the undocumented immigrants. As a former consular officer myself, I adjudicated and interviewed more people for visas than I care to remember. I can tell you that I don't see any changes in anybody going to the embassy tomorrow to request a visa.
Mm.
That is governed by the Immigration Nationality Act. It is not going to change, at least not overnight. And I don't see any changes in that sort of immigration structure. I think what Donald Trump was alluding to was talking about the undocumented immigrants that tend to come in here. You don't know who they are. You don't know where they are. And those are the kind of people that he always addressed. But he was always just said as immigration.
You know, it is very interesting you say that, Anita, because it reminds me of another era, and we're again back to the 1980s with Ronald Reagan. He actually was associated with that type of rhetoric, but guess what? He is the man under whose watch we had a major amnesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the question here will be, a lot of claims were made by Trump what he would do when he got elected. And, you know, in the history in politics is when your core supporters turn out, it's kind of like they feel you owe them. You need to follow through on the promise.
Mm. Yes.
Now, if he wants to try to heal the country, does he also follow through to the letter of some of the things he said earlier, mm-hmm. rounding up those in the country illegally, building the wall, stopping Muslims from coming in the country? All of this now, we're going to have to see the details.
Yes. Very interesting. Joe, are you there?
I am.
What about the other question regarding Muslims? Since you are a Republican man, can you address that issue, please? In fact, I think there is a poll from the Middle East which suggests that if they were to choose, they could have ended up, in fact, with guess who? The man himself.
Trump.
Hmm? Trump. Hey, Joe?
Yeah. Well, I think on that question, I think Donald Trump has traveled to the Middle East. He's done business in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Saudi Arabia. So in terms of being exposed to the Middle East or Islamic culture, I don't think that Donald Trump is a xenophobe or anti-Muslim by any choice. I think there are probably some, you know, mistakes with regard as to how language is used, a matter of syntax, describing things, but generally speaking, I think that he will probably confer with a group of people, of advisors, and you will slowly see policy begin to evolve. But to say that Donald Trump is anti-Muslim outright, I think he was more concerned about security. As you saw, there were bombings in Paris and elsewhere, and obviously there was bombings here in the U.S., and I think it was of great concern. And needless to say, Donald Trump is not a professional politician, and he may have not had the best choice of words, but I know this, that he has traveled to the Middle East. He definitely understands Arabic culture. He's done business with the Muslim world. So I don't think that Donald Trump is ignorant. I think he has probably more exposure to most Americans to the Middle East. And I think that that exposure to that part of the world will obviously play a role in how policy is developed in the White House.
Joe, I can tell you that some of my friends from the Great Lakes region of Africa, who ordinarily or normally vote for the Democratic Party, this time around, in fact, they did not vote for Clinton because they say she, her husband, and Obama, basically they cause it with African dictators in that region. You were recently in East Africa, in fact, in the Great Lakes region. What sense did you get when you talked about Madam Clinton and Donald Trump?
Well, I was in Kenya, Uganda, Burundi, briefly.
Yeah, 30 seconds, please. 30 seconds.
Hello.
Yeah, you have 10 seconds.
Yeah. Anyhow, I think most people were under the impression that Mrs. Clinton would win, and when I had shared with them that I thought Trump would win, they were all in shock. This morning, about 5 o'clock, my phones were ringing nonstop with those that I met. But I think there are many people who are excited to see change coming.
Thank you. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Anita Mpambara-Cox, founder and chair, the Mpambara-Cox Foundation, Jim Malone, VOA national political correspondent, and Joseph Slavik with the Republican Party. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, Today Break Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, America. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.